Hello, respective viewers, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video, I'm talking about Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner private military company. And you will remember in late June, he launched his extraordinary so-called March for Justice, which got within 200 kilometers of the center of Moscow. And in 2 hours, they would have been in Moscow when an agreement was reached, supposedly brokered by Alexander Lukashenko, the president of Belarus. But people say, really, he was just a conduit to pass messages back and forth between the two sides, it being too humiliating for Putin to negotiate with Prigozhin directly. I mean, that might not be true. Maybe Lukashenko really did play a role in parleying and put forth some of his own propositions. Because looking from Lukashenko's perspective, if Putin's overthrown, that could make Lukashenko's place even more insecure. Putin has decided to tolerate and help out a bit. A new Russian president might not. He maybe has had an interest in seeing this come to an end. But moreover, if Putin is toppled, then Lukashenko could very easily be toppled. But Lukashenko has made some extraordinary comments the last few days saying Putin is not a hero and lashing out at him, which shows just how feeble Putin is, because Lukashenko, being so reliant on Putin, would not dare publicly criticize him. He hasn't done anything like that for several years. So on the 10th of July, just yesterday, Sunday, Boris Peskov, he's press spokesman, Dmitry Peskov made this extraordinary statement saying that on the 29th of June, that's only 5 days after the mutiny, Yevgeny Prigozhin and several of his commanders were invited to the Moscow Kremlin to have a meeting with President Putin. And this was a mutiny in which Wagner shot down at least 7 Russian military aircraft, killed several pilots, and were headed, they were wanting to get rid of the defense minister and the top general, the chief of general staff, as in General Valerian Gerasimov. And would they have killed them? Probably, actually. And they took 2 other generals hostage, whom they've subsequently released. Why on earth would you invite them to the Kremlin? So it shows Putin's impotency. And people often said that actually he's it was never as omnipotent as he was presented as being. Really, he has to negotiate between various factions. He's sort of a front man for them. This image that's projected of him being all-powerful has always been a false one, which is not to say he had no power whatsoever. So we do not know what was said at the meeting. The tenor appears to have been unfriendly, because since that meeting, the pro-Kremlin media, which is to say almost all the media in Russia, has been very keen to be constantly making remarks which are disobliging to Yevgeny Prigozhin. But this disparagement doesn't extend to Wagner Group itself. I mean, Putin himself has gone on the record to say that most Wagner fighters are good Russian patriots and so on. They've just been misled. They were misguided youths. Well, they're often not very young. So Prigozhin was supposed to go to Belarus as per the meeting, and thousands of tents were erected a few miles south of Minsk, but they've since been taken down. It's not clear if anybody occupied them. Prigozhin's personal jet flew to Minsk, but it's unknown whether he was on board or not. And if who else was on board, we just don't know. So on the 8th of July, President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus said that Prigozhin is now in St. Petersburg and the Wagner fighters are still in Russia. Now, whether Prigozhin's in St. Petersburg or elsewhere, I don't know. I've got no knowledge of his current location, but there certainly are thousands of Wagner fighters in Russia, because remember the 3 options they were given. They could leave the country, go to Belarus with their capo, Prigozhin. They could join the Russian army, or could they just leave Wagner Group, just go home and lead civilian lives? But so far, rather few seem to have taken those other 2 options. Now, what about going to Belarus? Not many went. Some went, they might even have returned. There used to be more or less a porous border, didn't really count as a border between Russia and Belarus. Anyway, thus far, nobody's been arrested for this mutiny. So Wagner Group is still there. It's not fighting in Ukraine. It publicly said its Telegram channel it was suspending recruitment. There have been rumors that actually it's ended that and the suspension has started to recruit again. So that's tens of thousands of heavily armed men, some of them really battle hardened, some of them highly trained, Of course, they looked some terrible casualties, but those are mostly what they thought of as runts, just people recruited from prison or ordinary people who signed up with very little military training, rushed through. The elite Wagner fighters, who are real head cases, who are crack troops. They served at least several years in the Russian armed forces for joining Wagner Group. They were held in reserve as blocking units to stop these dispensable ones from retreating and so on. So a very high human cost was paid. So there's a sharp distinction drawn between the real Wagner ones, whom Prigozhin cherishes, and they have to go into danger. They may get killed, but their lives will not be frittered away in hopeless attacks. And then the one they think are real just chaff, and their lives will be thrown away simply to draw enemy fire. Okay. So Prigozhin's Moscow house has been raided, and the pro-government media was very eager to show off Prigozhin's gold bars, his weapons, millions of US dollars in cash, and indeed his bizarre collection of dozens of wigs. He is very much bald, though I've never known him to wear a peruke. I could be mistaken. So Pervom, which is the main Russian channel, has been very eager to do down Prigozhin and highlight his criminal past, suggest he still is one. Well, he's always been a criminal, I mean, the worst possible sense. So burglary was the least of his crimes. Look at the countless crimes he's committed in Ukraine. Even his deadly enemies, even though I know some Ukrainians, I think it's a dreadful thing. Nevertheless, if he toppled Putin, they would have been applauding that. And though he is a barbarian, Prigozhin, he maybe is a little bit hard-headed and sane and say, well, let's just end this war. I mean, he's a gangster who's out for money. This war is kind of a losing proposition. End it now. But would he be killed by his own side? I mean, could he give away those five regions? Surely not. Not Crimea. Give away some of them. Have as a frozen conflict. Look at the Korea option. And say, well, if we control even a bit of Ukraine for decades, that's still a win. That's still more than we had before. Have United Nations troops there, something like that. Thank you, so healthy, well, call a bit of the sun in France, or agree never to join NATO, anything like that. That might be a gain for him. Have sanctions lifted, that would definitely be a step in the right direction. So why has Putin not arrested Prigozhin? Why has he not even managed to force him out of the country? Now, Putin presumably doesn't have the strength to do either of these things. Prigozhin may yet have some mighty allies. Who are these puissant allies? We're not sure. A very well-informed British expert I know said it's really that Prigozhin, he's really just the face of the Glavnaya Rezvedka Upravlenia, main intelligence administration. That's military intelligence. So Putin's really not fully in charge of his own army, which is why many divisional commanders presumably refused to obey orders and wouldn't stop Wagner Group. But amazingly, now that Shoigu has been seen meeting the troops, Gerasimov has been seen in public for about the first time in a fortnight, Serovikin has sunk without trace, so presumably being tortured in the dungeons of the Lubyanka. I'm surprised that the Ukrainians, they say, well, why don't we invade as well? Because you see, Russia's very lightly defended. They're overcommitted. They throw in everything they have against us, and they've got almost no internal defense once you get through that border. But then it was a little bit different because he's held in such high regard, Prigozhin, that some Russian troops were not willing to raise a rifle against him. Anyway, so the expected purge of the military and intelligence services after the 24th of June hasn't really transpired. There have been very few arrests, so the plot thickens. I mean, I do think Putin is doomed. Yeah, he may there be in there in a few months. I don't think he's going to be there in a few years. Will he stand in the 24 election? I think he will. Will he win? Well, of course, he'll rig it. But he's not going to be in office at the end of that. Is he going to be there since 2030? I'm surprised. I mean, Prigozhin's actually mightier than I gave him credit for, that he's still alive, that he's still at large. And there have also been reports that all this cash that was confiscated was then returned to him. And I don't know if that one's true or not. Thank you very much for watching the channel. Okay, so make sure you donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.